You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning, August 13th, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on the app, watching us on social media, listening later by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. What's the mathematical equation for calculating baseball's magic number? And I know Parker was told there would be no math or quizzes as part of this radio show, but we'll try one today to come up with the mathematical equation for baseball's magic number, which is a thing now, because the Brewers have now won their 11th game in a row. Parker Olson is producing this little shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Can you taste the free hamburgers yet, or will our hopes be dashed on the rocks like the last 11-game winning streak, Mr. Olson?
Surely it can't happen twice at 11 games, right? Like, that's just terrible luck.
They would have to lose this afternoon. Given what they did to the Pirates last night, winning 14-0, I'm feeling pretty good about those burgers from George Webb.
Yeah. If I was close to a George Webb, I would be pretty close to getting in line right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, the Brewers were winners by 2 touchdowns over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Over Paul Skeens, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and for the second straight time at American Family Field, the Brewers chased him after 4 innings.
Yeah, and they got to him right away.
Oh, yeah, and another leadoff home run by Sal Frelick. I don't even know how many that is now, but he's just, I mean, they're tearing the cover off the ball. There were 5 home runs yesterday. This was allegedly not a home run winning or home run hitting team. Turns out they do.
They go through their waves of it every now and then.
They do. Yes, they've had that 8-game winning streak, the 11-game winning streak, now another 11-game winning streak. So this is pretty fun.
It is, and it's only something like the third team since 1936, I think I saw, that's had 2 double-digit win streaks in a season.
And it says, actually what it is the Brewers, and if you look at just the National League, the Brewers are the first team in the National League with multiple winning streaks of at least 11 games in a season since the 1935 Chicago Cubs. So these guys are pretty good. The Brewers lead the major leagues with home runs since the start of August. 23 home runs since the start of August. Just remember, the Brewers are undefeated in the month of August this point.
What? That's wild.
They haven't lost a game since last month. And that includes 6 home runs this month by Bryce Turang alone, 3 more by Andrew Vaughn, who did not join the Brewers until July 7th after coming our way from the Chicago White Sox. Thank you again, Aaron Savali, for demanding that trade very, very much. Couldn't appreciate it more. Might put up a statue for you.
We're
after
very
that.
Thankful for you.
Andrew Vaughn got here July 7th. He has 32 RBIs since then. That's an insane pace.
It's so much. What's funny is I think he's slowed down a little too.
Yeah. So they'll do this again this afternoon to wrap up the 3-game series at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 12:35 this afternoon on some of your favorite Civic Media radio stations all around Wisconsin. Here's what's coming up on the program today. Well, probably more Brewers chat because it's just so exciting. Also, naturally, the headline writers, they have to be brief. They might leave out some context. And so you may have seen the headline, Evers Vetoes Portable Benefits for Delivery Drivers. Well, the real story is how the governor vetoed a bill that would preserve the ongoing imbalance between how corporations treat their workers, and abusing the loophole with gig workers, independent contractors, part-timers. We're going to talk to former State Representative Dana Walks, who has a lot of experience as a trial attorney in worker misclassification. And we'll also talk to him about another bill that he worked on when he was in the legislature about bringing greater transparency to property tax bills about the true cost of voucher schools. It's something that's now happening in Green Bay. It could eventually happen in other local school districts, but it should have happened statewide a long time ago. But Republicans did not get on board Dana's bill and continue to try to obfuscate the taxpayer cost of voucher schools. We have this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff. Wisconsin was the first state in the country to use President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act as a way to put money back in people's pockets for projects that made their homes more energy efficient. Well, 2 years later, it has paid out millions in rebates, and we'll talk to Melissa about the program's success compared with what the current administration is trying to do to shift all that money back to company executives involved in oil and gas and coal. We'll check in with Civic Media's Jimmy Koska and Civic Media reporter James Kelly in the Chippewa Valley as well. Brittany Merlot is off today, so stay tuned to your local Civic Media station for the local forecast here. Though, Parker, I do have to say that a little bit before the show, I had to swap out shorts for jeans. It's the first time I've had jeans on in a while. It's 57 right now here on Lake Wissota.
That's a little chilly.
Still going to get up to 79, 80 degrees over here, which is just downright pleasant. I can keep the top down on the Jeep for at least, you know, another day, but no longer oppressive. Although I guess the smoke is supposed to start rolling back in again from Canada. I know. Yeah. So at some point, may have to close the windows and turn on the air conditioner again. Just not quite yet. I wanted to let you know as well that on social media, Up North News can be found many different ways, not just our website, not just our newsletter, not only this fine radio show, but also plenty of places like Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, and now Blue Sky. There have been folks who gave up Twitter a long time ago when Elon Musk turned it into a dumpster fire and filled it with Nazis and all kinds of stuff that you didn't ask to see. There's still people who feel like they have to be on there because there's just enough other information on there, but they're always looking for an alternative. Blue Sky has become that alternative for many folks, and Up North News now has a Blue Sky account as well. So if you're on Blue Sky, look for Up North News, give us a follow, and we'd love to have you seeing what we're doing throughout the course of the day. And you can follow me on social media as well. Head to Facebook and look up Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And I'll be posting things throughout the course of the day there, some things that we're doing and other things that we're noticing, you know, throughout the news world and the politics world there as well. I was going to tell you about a project that I was working on in the garage here, but it actually dovetails into a side project that I had to do in the garage. I created a puzzle for myself, nearly 30 years in the making.
Yeah, it seems right.
And I finally had to work on it. In my garage, there's an old 5-gallon bucket. And it's a metal bucket. So it's a rust bucket, quite literally. Yeah. And over time, it had collected, let's just say, leftover hardware. You know, let's say you're putting something together and there's some extra odds and ends, nuts, bolts, screws, whatever the case may be. And it just gets tossed in there. And I always said, you know, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to sorting this thing. I'll get to it. Well, you see these lights, Parker, on the shelf behind me? Remember my mentioning how IKEA gave you the option of using tape or these little teeny tiny screws? And I went with their adhesive strips, which were not adhesive, not nearly enough. And so a couple of different times, these little spotlights hanging above the bookshelf came crashing down. And I knew it was going to be time to eventually screw those little buggers in.
Yeah.
I could not find the little screws. I just could not. I looked in the places where you should put them. You know, I got these little tiny drawers, you know, almost like a fishing tackle situation.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of organized nuts and bolts and screws. And I just wasn't seeing it. And so out of the corner of my eye, I see the rust bucket. And I think, did I really toss them in there?
Would I do such a thing?
And I think, would I do such a thing? And then I said, yes, I would, because I didn't want to do the little teeny tiny screws. You know, that's annoying. So I'm sure I just thought, I'm never going to use these.
Yeah.
And so the time had finally come, and I had no other way to do this is just to turn it upside down and empty it all out on the garage floor, get on my hands and knees, and start sorting. So the job that I'd been putting off for about 25 years, finally, that was how I spent my Sunday afternoon, was getting all of those things in order, in the workbench, in the places where they belong. And it was such a pleasant day, and you know, the Brewers were on the radio and everything, that it actually wasn't a hardship. But this should be a story of shame on you. That'll learn you. But I was putting off something I did not want to do until the time was right. The time was right. In the midst of all that debris, so much of it that got thrown away, and I don't know why it didn't go to the trash can in the first place, were these 8 teeny tiny screws, which finally got up on the step ladder. And I feel like I need an ice pack on my shoulder because, you know, you're just wrenching these things in there. It's not like there's a pilot hole or anything in there, but they're in. They're in.
And
I say
that
now because, thank you. Yeah, I think they look all right. But I say that now because if and when the crash comes again and we hear it all coming down, we'll know that the IKEA folks made those teeny tiny screws a little too teeny tiny.
Just a little.
And that they did not get the work done. But at this point, it appears that they do. So
I'm upset that this hasn't led to content. I want this on video.
Oh, gosh. I thought about it. And then I realized I engage in enough self-deprecation, you know, as it is already. And
Fair.
That's fine. I don't mind. But sometimes you have to draw limits and go, okay, this is a bridge too far. I will tell people about the rust bucket. maybe I'll take a picture later. All right, here's your answer. To calculate the magic number of a baseball team, you add up the number of wins for the first place team and the number of losses by the second place team, and then you subtract that total from 163, because that's one more than the number of games that there are in a season. So for the Brewers, you're now at 75 wins, and then you're at 51 Cubs losses. And so that's 126. You subtract that to 160. Oh, look who did the work already. Roger did on Facebook in Stevens Point. 75 wins, 51 Cubs losses. Add those together, subtract it from 163, and you've got a magic number of 37. So any combination of 37 Brewers wins and Cubs losses will give the Brewers the National League Central Division title, which I hasten to add is not guaranteed. There is still plenty of time for the Cubs. They are 7.5 games back, but guess what? We were 6 games back at one point, and that worked out pretty well for us. So,
we're having a good time.
Yeah, we'll keep tracking that magic number as long as we can make it last. Let's enjoy the ride, kids. Live from the heart of America's up north, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow here on Lake Wissota. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back on this Wednesday morning, August 13th, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News on the Civic Media radio network. Parker, according to Roger, he says that as of this morning, according to Tankathon, whatever that is, the Brewers still have the fifth toughest schedule remaining. The Cubs have the third easiest schedule remaining, so take nothing for granted. Or as Cassandra puts it on YouTube, whoa, we're already looking at that.
Oh.
Yes, we are. We're having fun with it.
I'm impressed that the Cubs have the third easiest schedule because they have to play us five times by their own making.
Well, there is that, and the Brewers continue to be severely underrated. Somebody pointed to an article somewhere that said, how's this? The Brewers have the best record in baseball and yet have no players on the current list of the 100 best players in Major League Baseball.
I saw that. I thought that was a little odd.
That seems a little odd, yes. 6:24 the time right now. Do you have Hulu? Do you have the Hulu?
I do have Hulu, yeah.
I guess it'll be time to say goodbye to it pretty soon.
Really? Oh, yeah. It's combining with Disney Plus.
As Disney rolls it into Disney Plus. And I was going to share with you a very interesting article that I found online about it, about what does this mean for streaming as some of these other streaming services, you know, they started as one thing, but then through corporate changes, you know, they belonged to other companies, and then they're combining their package. You hear all this bundling, you know?
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have shared this article. It was in the Houston Chronicle. And then I went to go look at it again. Well, you want to look at it again, it's going to cost you. Dear Houston Chronicle, I'm not subscribing to your paper to read one article.
Oh.
Maybe make it available someplace else. And by the way, I'm the guy that tells people, subscribe to newspapers, subscribe to the New York Times or the Milwaukee Journal or the Wisconsin State Journal or the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram or whatever. But when you get these far-flung places and you see a story and you want to share a little bit about it, and then you can't, it's like, well, you've really kind of limited your audience here, you know?
It is always upsetting when you run into a paywall, especially when it's like something like that, that you literally just want to read one article and you're never going to come back to them again.
And it's what I said years and years ago, and that was that when Apple figured out iTunes and to charge 99 cents for a song, you could have done something very similar, you know, 25 cents to read this newspaper article or something. And people at the time said, oh, no, that's too small. You'll never make money off it. Apple did fine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all these newspapers are going out of business. So the announcement by Taylor Swift then, so we'll just have to switch gears and say RIP Hulu. Taylor Swift announcing this new album on Travis and Jason Kelsey's podcast announcing that it's coming has the world of Twitter. No pun intended there. That woman has mastered album anticipation, has she not?
I mean, I feel like anything she does at this point has major anticipation. I think that's just kind of her life at this point.
It is, but you know, I've heard her talk about it, about the notion of building anticipation and putting what are called Easter eggs, you know, little coded messages in things to build up suspense and then to, you know, make the announcement. And the thing is, she announced was the title of the album. She didn't give a release date. We don't have any like samples of the songs or anything like that, you know, but it raises this point. Okay. So Taylor Swift, she has nailed album anticipation. Have there been other albums in history that have also had a high level of anticipation? Now, that's different than an album that becomes a juggernaut, okay? Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, for example, just took off. Michael Jackson's Thriller. I mean, everybody knew Michael Jackson was talented, but nobody knew that that album was going to do what it did. Jagged Little Pill or 21 by Adele, they all took off, but they weren't necessarily anticipated. And so I want people to get in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube or email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Use the Civic Media app to send us a text message. Use the voice note feature. Was there an album that you anticipated highly before it came out? Near as I can, just a couple examples would be, for example, Van Halen, when David Lee Roth left and Sammy Hagar was coming in. So 5150, That was pretty well anticipated. Nevermind by Nirvana was another one, was going to be their follow-up, their second album. For Fleetwood Mac, everybody was anticipating Tusk, which was the follow-up to Rumours. But near as I can tell, from what little research I've done, prior to Taylor Swift, I don't know if any album was more anticipated than the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And that even predates me. I was 3 years old at the time. Okay, but what about you? Were there albums that you couldn't wait to get? And by the way, for the really younger members of our audience, an album is a collection of
hang
of
on. We on know this, what an album is.
On this 12-inch vinyl disc or an 8-track cassette that you would clunk into this player in your car.
I will not put up with the slander. I know an album.
Now, wait, is that an EP? Is that an LP? What is that? It's a collection. What have you anticipated from somebody that you could not wait for it to come out? Yes, Cassandra nailed it here. Adele's 25. And then she ended up seeing her in concert for that tour. That would have been the only other one I would have added to this list was 25.
Yeah.
And then everything else that she did from there. Roger and Stevens Point in 1984, the Jacksons had the overhyped Victory album and the Victory tour. Yes, that was very anticipated. And yes, it very much was overhyped. So keep those suggestions coming in as we talk about highly anticipated albums. But coming up next, we're going to play back a segment you might have missed yesterday. Jeff Renicky from the Friends of the Apostle Islands about buoys out there on Lake Superior, a little network of them to make for safer boating. After the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Of your nominees for most anticipated album coming up in just a bit. First, in today's newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. There's a story about a couple of new full-time staffers at American Family Children's Hospital in Madison. And these two new staffers have tails that they love to wag. There's Jimmy the Labrador, a Labrador Retriever mix, who works with kids in neurology and orthopedics. Cash is part golden retriever, part poodle, supports nutrition patients. His presence makes it easier for staff to have conversations about complex topics like moving from feeding tubes to solid food. It's all part of the hospital's Canine Health and Medical Pals program. Again, Canine Health and Medical Pals. That's the acronym is CHAMPS. And they now have five dogs there, have had five dogs since 2021. At American Family Children's Hospital in Madison. So to learn more about that, head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage, and subscribe to our newsletter. Tomorrow on the program, we have another new candidate for Wisconsin State Senate. There are going to be a lot of legislative races next year, and that includes Democrats pushing to take control of the state Senate. Democrats have not controlled the Senate or the Assembly since 2010 and are anticipating with new and fairer maps a chance to do that. And so as candidates have been declaring, a lot of them have approached us about coming on and telling people about their new candidacies. And we will have one of those candidates for you tomorrow morning. As well, we'll be talking to Sherita Booker about some of the big events happening around Wisconsin this coming weekend. Todd Alba will be joining us, Joseph Pecky, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, and Sean O'Malley will be talking about your money and the markets. That is all coming up here on our mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, so for most anticipated albums here, Roger notes that Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. I guess we could say, yeah, that was pretty well anticipated. That was 1984. It was a bit of a departure. You know, he moved more into top 40 territory and nailed it completely. and let's see, he also had I saw somewhere in Rolling Stone a list of the greatest second albums of all time. Because, you know, there's that thing called the sophomore jinx, or some people, yeah. You know, Hootie and the Blowfish always comes to mind, who Alanis Morissette, they could not get that same magic with their second album. But Springsteen's, and the name of it escapes me, it's got the E Street Shuffle in the title, was also very anticipated and popular. And then we get from Adam here, Limp Bizkit's Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. And says, just kidding. He always thought that was a strange album title, to which, of course, Parker and I, who are, you know, so tied into pop culture. Limp Bizkit fans all the way through. But we had to double check. And, of course, Parker took all the abuse from Adam, who
I wasn't even sure Limp Bizkit was a thing.
Oh, Lord, so. Parker is a baby. We need to do some education there. So yeah. You have to brush up on your Limp Bizkit.
Sorry, guys. I am both young and out of touch. Who knew?
Let's see. Tom in New Berlin said AC/DC's Back in Black was widely anticipated. From Dave in New Berlin, he also puts Back in Black by AC/DC, Third Stage from Boston, Walk On from Boston, and Adrenaline by Def Leppard. All very good nominees for anticipated albums. And again, I don't think any of them were of the level of, you know, what Taylor Swift does, but we're also in this internet social media era,
yes,
where you can build up so much more anticipation. You can make things buzzworthy, where it was very tough to get buzz back when, you know, you had three stations on your TV and one of them was playing Entertainment Tonight updates by Rona Barrett in Hollywood. Okay, it was really tough for a new band to compete with a Hollywood gossip columnist. But we definitely want to know what your thoughts were on that. And, you know, I've also put out, you know, a little note on my own Facebook here asking for nominees and seeing what people think. And so from Joel, a friend of mine here on Facebook, says, in the New York City area where I grew up, Springsteen's Darkness at the Edge of Town was eagerly awaited. There was a 3-year gap between Born to Run and Darkness, and folks were getting really antsy waiting for the new record. Which reminds me, there is another album that is highly anticipated and has been anticipated for years and years and years, and that is whatever the heck Rihanna is going to do next. Because I guess it's one of those where they keep saying she's going to make another album, and instead she makes another baby, and then they go, okay, no, she's pregnant again. Not that you can't make an album, but obviously she's got her priorities right now.
Yeah, she's a little more busy with that.
A new album is not one of those things, at least not at the moment. So her fans just continue to have to wait. And Dave corrects the Def Leppard one, Adrenalize, said his phone auto-corrected, which is good because that phone auto-correct, who knows what that album could have been titled otherwise. In our Way Up North segment yesterday, in case you missed it, we talked to Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands, and we learned about a system of buoys that are out on Lake Superior near the Apostle Islands, their usefulness for safety, and so much more. Jeff Renicky, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thank you. I'd rather be out boating, but I'm glad to be here talking about it.
Exactly. If it helps other people to boat safely, then that's just fine. So the Wave Watch buoys are a joint project between UW-Madison, the Friends of the Apostle Islands, and the National Park Service. And so tell us about these five different data buoys deployed in strategic places around the island. What is it that they do, and how do we benefit from them?
Well, first, maybe a little background. I always chuckle when I see that Minnesota license plate boast about 10,000 lakes, because Wisconsin actually has 15,074.
Yeah.
And we border the two of the Great Lakes. And so we have some of the greatest boating in the world. But with that, of course, come some dangers. In 2023, Wisconsin unfortunately set a record with 28 boating fatalities. We average about 19. And so the Wave Watch Buoy Project is a way to show folks that safe boating is informed boating. And with the buoys, we can help people make better decisions, as you were talking about a moment ago.
And so you do that in these buoys that, tell me about the things that they measure.
Sure. So there's five buoys out there in strategic places that are important to boaters in the Apostle Islands. Every 30 minutes, they send back information on wave height, wave frequency, which is the time period between the crests of the waves, the wave direction, and water temperature, which a lot, and then it's refreshed every 30 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through the entire boating season. So it's not a forecast. It's even more important. It's real-time information right for where the boaters are going, right at their fingertips.
So this is information at your fingertips. Is there like any kind of a charge to access this information?
I don't think boating safety should have a price. And so use of our WaveWatch program is free. People can just go to our website at friendsoftheapostleislands.org and ask us to send them a QR code. And what I do as a boater myself is part of my preparation process in my boat is before I slip the lines, I take my phone, I scan the QR code, and I check conditions to where I'm going. So the use of it is free. Now, of course, there is a cost in the process, and so we appreciate donations to try to keep this project going, and those donations as well can be made at our website. But safety should be for all of us, and it should be free.
Yes, because as noted, it's a roughly $17,000 a year contract with UW-Madison, so sponsorships are greatly appreciated. Are there also ramifications when it comes to, you know, measuring our changing climate with these buoys?
Yeah, very much so. Lake Superior is the largest lake in the world by surface area, as many people know. And so it's very, very fragile to the changes in climate because it has such an incredibly large surface area. And also, like all lakes, of course, it goes through what they call upwelling or flipping. And so the recording of temperatures, surface temperatures, can be very important. We had an event last year with the buoy out by Myers Beach, which is near the sea caves, where the temperature literally dropped something on the order of 25 or 30 degrees in a matter of a very short period of time when the lake flipped. Now that information is not only important to boaters, because of course cold water can be a very dangerous situation if you're not prepared, but it's also important to climate change researchers to understand how our lake is reacting to the changes in water temperature and the extreme conditions that climate change can bring about.
And then finally, how's been the reaction to it, to having this kind of a rather sophisticated safety program out there on the water?
Oh, people love it. They call it, if for some reason, we've had 98.7% connectivity on the buoys, which is incredible, because if I was floating around in Lake Superior Memorial Day to Labor Day, I wouldn't have 97.8% connectivity. But as soon as it goes down, my phone starts ringing. People are using it. We've had more than 30,000 hits on our website last year for this, and people are getting used to it. They're checking it. It's even become kind of a recreational thing. People who are not even going boating that day, sometimes wisely because of strong winds, will check on the buoy in a place like the flats near Long Island or Devil's Islands just to ooh and ah about the size of the waves. So it's become a very important tool for safe boating in the Apostle Islands.
It sounds like it. And again, to learn more, head to friendsoftheapostleislands.org and learn more about the WaveWatch buoys and much more about the group as well. Jeff Renicky representing it for us on our weekly Way Up North segment. Hey, it was great to talk to you again, Jeff. Thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome. Let's all be safe out there.
We appreciate that. You can catch our Way Up North segment on Tuesdays at 7:52 here on our mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. From David New Berland, also, Hell Freezes Over by the Eagles was kind of a big deal. Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
That
when
makes
the Eagles
sense.
Got back together, yeah, after a 14-year break. They were on a break, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, that album, especially the new version of Hotel California, was outstanding. My great thanks to my friend Chris Earle, who's down in Kansas now, and mentions this list, Third Stage by Boston, he adds, Hysteria by Def Leppard. He says Bad by Michael Jackson should be listed as one of the most anticipated. And then he totally reminds me of one of my own. I was a big Huey Lewis and the News fan back in the day. And Four was, I believe, the follow-up to sports. And everybody was waiting for that one as well.
I thought you meant that you had an album coming out that was anticipated.
Yeah, right? Some of my greatest karaoke hits. So my album of hit for that one karaoke song I sang that one time. But it was Frank Sinatra, and it was good. And as they like to say in the news stories about fatal wrecks, alcohol may have been a factor in all of that. So tell you what, instead of having to even think about me singing any karaoke tunes here, why don't we pause and listen to some real music coming up next in today's history lesson. And then in our next hour, we'll be talking to former State Representative Dana Walks in our homeroom segment about transparency on property tax bills, about the cost of voucher schools, and also the intentional misclassification of workers and how that carries over into today's gig economy. That's all ahead here on these mornings, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I know what you're thinking. Is he really going to just play Freebird here? Yes, we're just going to go out for breakfast and let this thing run. Because Lynyrd Skynyrd released their debut album, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, this day in 1973. A rather impressive set with Simple Man, Tuesday's Gone, and Freebird. We're not playing Freebird. We're not playing the album. We've got big, more important things to handle, like a visit from our friend Melissa Kay at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
I'm good. You know, it's so great that normally we ask you what's new in Wisconsin Rapids. Do you have anything going on there? And for once, I get to be the one to make a big announcement about Wisconsin Rapids, because you're having like this 85th anniversary parking lot party next week, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
August 20th.
Yeah, and guess what? This show will be broadcasting live from WFHR next Wednesday morning at 6 to 9 in the morning as part of the shindig. So,
cool.
That's
awesome.
Wait, did we not get the memo to you?
No.
Okay. Surprise.
Well, maybe I just
did. Memo sent.
Memos. I put the memo at the bottom of Lilu's cage, and Lilu told us what they thought of that.
I have some exciting news about Lilu too.
Oh my goodness! Go on.
So I've created this little pigeon playpen over here for them.
Yes.
And I've started just leaving their door open in the morning, and they flew out by themselves.
Wow!
We're getting adventurous.
Three times.
See, this is great. Roger gives us a big woohoo on Facebook there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're getting close. Do you have the pirate hat yet? Get the pirate hat, because I'm telling you, the day will come, and I'll bet it's on this segment, where Lilu just flies around, lands on your shoulder, and looks perfect there with the pirate hat.
Well, they can't really fly yet, but they are getting stronger. So maybe someday.
I was just gonna say, never say never. Exactly. all right, let's get back to today's history lesson. The number one song this week in 1966 was by the Lovin' Spoonfuls.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty.
On this day in 1964, Diana Ross and the Supremes walked into a record studio at Motown Studios, recorded a little song called Baby Love. It did all right. See, we mentioned the Beatles before. This week in 1965, they released Help. Along with the title track, it included Ticket to Ride. On this day in 1889, William Gray of Hartford, Connecticut, is granted a patent for a coin-controlled apparatus for telephones. In other words, the payphone was patented this day in 1889. Do you ever think we'd see the day where there weren't payphones on like every corner anymore?
There's like one left, I think.
Yeah. And I don't know of any. You probably have never used a payphone, Parker.
No, I haven't. I can't even picture where one would be in Madison, honestly.
Oh, they were everywhere. Absolutely, yeah. Happy birthday to Danny Bonaducci. He's 65 years old today.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Do you think there's still a copyright on that song? Could we like use that as our theme song instead? Tell everybody to get happy in the morning, Melissa?
I don't know. You'd have to look it up.
Seems like the kind of thing that you'd have on a show. Just very happy stuff, you know?
We were all swaying to the music. So
yeah,
we were.
Yeah, yep, exactly. let's see. The late Dan Fogelberg was born in Peoria, Illinois, this day in 1951. That's Dan Fogelberg's hard to say that he's going to come in on here in a second. Passed away in 2007 of cancer at the age of 56. All right. I've got one more here that I know I play every year, and that's because I just think that she deserves her due. Her name is Willie Mae Thornton, and on this day in 1952, she walked into a studio in Los Angeles and recorded the original Hound Dog. It was a big hit that summer, but then 3 years later, Elvis Presley covered it, and he had his own big hit in July of 1956. And then finally, Beyonce's album Break My Soul, or I'm sorry, her album Renaissance, went to number one this day in 2002 with the single, including... Melissa, what am I trying to say here?
I can read it too. Do you want me to read it?
No, I got it here. Beyonce's album Renaissance goes to number one, including the single Break My Soul, with the footnote that her follow-up album, Cowboy Carter, her eighth album, also debuted at number one. Today is National Left-Handers Day. This is Filet Mignon Day. It's Ooh. Prosecco Day. And it's World Calligraphy Day. Are there just the people that do calligraphy?
I tried it for a little while. I had a book and everything.
It's Mm-hmm. It is for those who can do it, but I mean, they don't even, I hate to say, I don't mean to blank, have a big blank. I think, do they teach cursive writing anymore? And
yes, they do. They're bringing it back.
Oh, okay. Are they?
They are, because it's proven that you learn things better if you write them down.
Now that makes sense. Yes. You know, and some of us could really use some help with our handwriting. It's really kind of so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Melissa, any other quick announcements from Wisconsin Rapids other than the big party?
Excited to see you at the party. That's going to be fun. It's going to be a busy day.
It is next Wednesday, so be looking for that. And you can catch
Katie
Melissa.
Katie Cruz is going to be there too, I heard.
Who?
Katie Cruz.
Oh, and so is Todd Alba.
On WIRA. Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
Star-studded is the term you're looking for. Thank you, Melissa. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, much more ahead. Two more hours ahead on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cause you ain't looking for a woman. Are you looking at a farm? You ain't nothing but a house.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.